Hi, I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOO. Dozens of child-sized raven-tail robes were danced for the first time at an event in Juneau on Tuesday. It's the largest collection of raven's tail weaving in decades. KTOO was there to learn more and has this story. There's a story behind every raven's tail robe.
So up here we have the Northern Lights with the Chilkoot Mountains, and then down here are bear prints and the salmon going upstream.
That's Aurora Sutherland describing the raven's tail robe she's wearing. She's in fifth grade and in Harborview Elementary's Tlingit Culture, Language, and Literacy program. And on Tuesday night, she and her classmates made history.
You have just witnessed the largest gathering of raven's tail regalia in history ever.
That's Master Weaver Lily Hope as she spoke to a full crowd at Centennial Hall. They gathered to learn the history and the future of raven's tail weaving, or yaethkuwu. People say the intricate art form slept for a century before it was brought back to life by master weavers like Cheryl Samuel and Kay Parker. Both were honored at the event. Another weaver, Shimlikskun Ruth Hallows, commended their dedication to passing their knowledge to others.
In 2019, there were fewer than a dozen weavers in the world who had woven a raven's tail dancing robe. Today, there are four times as many, and our numbers are growing.
At the event, people learned about the stories behind the weaving and the journey that it took to bring it back to life. And they got the first look at dozens of newly created child-sized raven's tail robes that will be on display at the Juneau Douglas City Museum soon. Not only did they get to look at them, they got to watch them come to life. On stage, dozens of students and adult dancers sang in unison to a drumbeat. As they moved and twirled, the white fringes on their robes flew in the air like tail feathers of a bird. Memo Contreras, one of the students dancing, said his favorite part of dancing was watching the fringe move.
Because it looks delightful.
Marie Johnson was one of the adult dancers on stage. She says it gives her so much joy to see people young and old gather to celebrate their culture.
This is a great honor, you know, to bring something to life and to be able to just share our culture and let people know what the meanings are behind everything, because every blanket and every article has a story.
After the event, Hope says the journey to grow the number of raven's tail weavers is far from over.
It means we're doing the good work. It means our communities are strong. It means we have mentors in multiple cities and villages. It means the art form is alive and well, and it's just going to get bigger and better from here.
On Friday, the robes will go on exhibit at the Juneau Douglas City Museum. They'll be on display there throughout the summer. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson. And now, for Curious Juno, KTOO's Katie Anastas brings us this week's episode.
It's a sunny Saturday in February at the Fisherman's Bend gas station. Juno resident Joyce Siepel is filling up her tank.
Do you usually go to this station?
Yeah, I do, but now I've been going to Fred Meyer because it was cheaper. But now, yeah, I'll just watch. I like coming here. It's convenient. I love watching the water here. Well, I do it. Yeah, but they've been the most competitive during the winter.
Back on Valentine's Day, the Auk Bay station's prices were 3 to 40 cents cheaper than other stations in Juneau. DeHart's charged $3.50 per gallon, and the Fisherman's Bend station charged $3.51. Meanwhile, Mike's Airport Express was charging $3.70 per gallon. And downtown, the Delta Western station was charging $3.90. KTOO listeners have asked why gas is cheaper in Auk Bay. In this installment of Curious Juno, we find out.
Matthew Lewis, professor of economics at Clemson University.
And can you tell me a little bit about what you study?
A lot of my research focuses on competition between gas stations and how consumers respond to prices and price changes at stations.
Lewis says demand within a city depends on where people are and how many stations they're driving by.
If consumers are driving or commuting a fair distance, they're probably passing more gas station options along the way. So that gives much more flexibility in where consumers might purchase.
So if someone lives in Ock Bay and drives to Lemon Creek or downtown for work every day, that driver passes by a lot of gas stations to choose from. And the Ock Bay stations need to keep prices low to try to catch those drivers before they go south.
It is on the, you know, the outskirts of where people are. It's not a convenient location for a lot of people. And so they, you know, they need to have a relatively low price to stay competitive, whereas stations on a prominent, convenient part of a heavy traveled road or downtown can charge a high price, and many consumers will still go.
More broadly, four things affect the cost of gas, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. The biggest is the cost of crude oil, which makes up more than half of the retail price of gasoline. Lower oil production drives up crude oil's cost per barrel. Refining costs, distribution costs, and taxes make up the rest. As those costs change, so do prices at the pump. But ultimately, Lewis says stations decide how much they think they can charge.
When the crude oil and refined gasoline prices go up, the stations have to raise their prices, and they do so fairly rapidly. But when oil and wholesale costs go down, the stations tend to be a little bit slower to lower their price.
Lewis says competition drives stations' prices, even within the same neighborhood. Back in October, the Juneau Empire reported an 80-cent per gallon difference between the two Ock Bay stations.
Prices do change regularly, and so consumers really often aren't all that well informed about what different stations are charging at different points in time.
So next time you need to fill up, call around to a few stations. The lowest price could be closer than you think. And if you're opting for another form of transportation,
take a moment to look around and locate your nearest exit. It may be behind you.
Ever wondered why it's sometimes cheaper to fly from Juneau to Seattle than to Ketchikan? Some of our listeners have.
We hope you enjoy our 1 hour and 59 minute flight to Seattle.
For this bonus mini episode of Curious Juneau, here's Alaska Travelgram writer Scott McMurrin.
I'll answer that by asking a question. How many airlines fly between Juneau and Seattle?
Two?
You are correct. I'm going to give you a merit badge for that. So Alaska and Delta compete on that route, particularly in the summer. The next question is, how many airlines offer jet service between Juneau and Ketchikan?
I think just one.
Just one.
So, just like gas prices, it all comes down to competition. Multiple airlines will compete for customers. But if one airline has a monopoly on a route, like Alaska Airlines does on the Juneau to Ketchikan route, it's up to them to set the price. In Juneau, I'm Katie Anastas.
Today, there will be two cruise ships ported in Juneau, and tomorrow, there's going to be four cruise ships ported in Juneau. The first one's going to arrive at 9 a.m., and the last one will leave at 9 p.m. And today, Juneau got to enjoy another sunny afternoon, and tonight will be no different. The high today is 59 degrees, and the low is 38. Luckily for tomorrow, the sunshine won't stop either. It will likely be sunny with a high near 65 degrees and a low of 40. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson, and thank you so much for listening.